More. Wonderful presentation so far. Next, we are going to be shifting to Dr. Derek Griffith, who is going to be engendering men for health. How do we consider ethnicity and gender in African American men's health interventions? Dr. Griffith.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Let me begin by saying we don't have any relationships to disclose. I do want to begin also by acknowledging our staff and community partners, Mrs. Deloney, who's here in the audience, the range of students who work on these various projects, many of which are actually presenting here at APHA or presented yesterday. The funders for our work, primarily the American Cancer Society, and this is a shameless plug, but the main sort of process that I'm going to talk about throughout this presentation is in this new book that actually just came out about a week ago, Cancer Disparities, Causes and Evidence-Based Solutions, and this the intersectionality piece and the more theory piece that I'll talk about is in a separate paper that was published in Public Health over the summer. Okay. So today I'm going to talk about the need to really attend to sex and gender and really to attend to intersectionality in men's health, which is not new to folks who study gender and women's health, but it is a very new concept to think about as it relates to men and particularly to men of color. I'm going to provide an overview of Body and Soul, which was sort of the foundation for us thinking about how do you create a gender-sensitive intervention for African-American men around eating and physical activity. So the question was, how do we look at the core components of Body and Soul and apply that to the social context of Flint, as well as the lives of African-American men in that community, and then talk about the next steps after that process. Okay. So the first thing is simply African-American men, as we many people, most of you know, have lower life expectancy than all other groups of men and all other groups of women. And so you see this, we tend to not really attend to the fact that there's this, we acknowledge but not really attend to the sex and race effects of this, or really figure out how to deal with the sex slash gender component of it. And if you think about the leading cause of death for African American men in sort of who are at risk for cancer primarily, you're thinking of men who are 35, 40 and older, the leading cause of death for these men are, for African American men in particular, cardiovascular disease and cancer. Both are heavily affected by eating and physical activity. So those are two of the most important modifiable risk factors, behavioral risk factors. And again, these data highlight the importance of thinking about not just race, which is for the most part interventions to address African Americans have only attended to. We haven't really thought about, again, what gender means and how do we deal with those issues. Okay. Again, often we think about gender or in the literature on, or related literature to African American men's health, there tends to be this sort of separation of literature that only focuses on African American men as sort of racial beings and only talk about them in the context of race, or they talk about, in a very simplistic way, things related to sex or gender. So mostly it's about men don't want to do this, men don't do that, and it's a very sort of straightforward, knee-jerk sort of reaction, as opposed to really thinking about the broad range of facts that men are responding to and interacting with people based on sort of their social experience of what it means to be a male as well as their experience of what it means to be African American, and those two can't be separated. So you have both the entanglement of the physiological responses to different things, which is the biology, and the social experience of being male, which is the gender part, and then we have to look at not only the entanglement of sex and gender, but as well as the intersection of race and other factors as it relates to men's health as well. We chose Body and Soul. So my the American Cancer Society support that we received in 2006 was to, again, develop this intervention called Men for Health, which was to adapt Body and Soul for use with African American men. And our process for doing that is essentially what I'm describing today. I'm not going to describe sort of the whole thing, more so the substance of it. Again, those were presented in other papers here at APHA and elsewhere. But Body and Soul has remained one of the few research-tested or evidence-based interventions for African Americans And so a lot of the basic things that we were trying to assess were what's the appropriateness of it being faith-based, which you can sort of see in this image. The other major components of body and soul are you are looking for pastoral support or leadership support for the intervention, self-help materials, which really don't exist for African-American men around these issues, peer support, thank you. Peer support, and some of that may include motivational interviewing, as well as church-wide activities and social activities around these kind of issues. And so our basic question was, how appropriate are those types of things? How appropriate is it for it to be faith-based, and are there other ways that we need to engage men? The other challenge with these types of interventions, and what you can hopefully see highlighted there, is that most interventions for African Americans around eating and physical activity have only included a very small minority of men. This is actually this is probably the most common. You see about 70% or so of men who, when you do an intervention for African Americans, and actually you saw it in some of the previous presentations, actually with Dr. Williams' presentation, for some reason this number around 70-something percent, you tend to get much more women than you do males. And so when you actually try to aggregate this and try to explain, well, what do you do to address the health of African-American men within an African-American community, it's not clear how you're supposed to extract men, and you usually don't have large enough numbers to be able to do that effectively. So one of the strategies that certainly are tried and true is to think about cultural sensitivity. And so people have talked about this quite a bit, these notions of surface and deep structure. Surface structure being, you know, images, pictures, different types of things that tend to increase people's attention to the materials. You know, they see it as relevant to them, having some particular importance to them. And then there's a deep structure, which is really making it more relevant, salient to them in their personal lives, things that they're going to actually see as important in their particular context. All of this work to date really has only focused on race and or ethnicity, and if this were my health disparities class, I'd make a bigger distinction about race and ethnicity, but I won't here for the sake of time. I'm blurring the two, and which is exactly the opposite of what I tell my students to do, but most of them are here. Darcy's here, but you just won't listen to this part. Most of all, again, the interventions, when we've thought about what culture means in terms of interventions for African Americans, we've only thought of it in relation to race and ethnicity. We haven't thought about this having a gender component. And so for us to really think about, if you think about the factors that influence, particularly things like eating and physical activity, they're very much a gendered component. You have African American men who tend to eat far less fruits and vegetables than women of the same race. You have physical activity patterns, and what types of physical activity men are interested in is very different than women. And we haven't really incorporated that into these interventions for African Americans. And so the simple point is that we need to figure out how we're going to incorporate these factors into men's health interventions. So one of the things that's a bit controversial, but it was the starting point for us thinking about this work. So Dr. Reznikow and his team, in developing Body and Soul and developing Healthy Body, Healthy Spirit, which was a complement to this that focused both on, so Body and Soul only focused on eating behavior. Healthy Body, Healthy Spirit had both a fruit and vegetable component as well as a physical activity component. This was part of the development of Healthy Body, Healthy Spirit. And what they did was this ethnic mapping process. And so their goal was to try to get African Americans who were in focus groups to talk about the ways that these different types of food and different types of physical activity either mapped onto or they saw as relevant to being African American or not, essentially. So they had, essentially, you had these polar opposites of mostly a black thing, mostly a white thing, and sort of this middle group of equally a black and white thing. And if you were going to apply this, again, more as a conceptual exercise than necessarily something I would have actually done, the question would be, what would you do, how would you actually relate this to African-American men? So would you have them do completely separate processes of, again, replicating this ethnic mapping process where you think about black, white, and sort of this middle group? Would you have them then do the same thing for Again, mostly a male thing, mostly a female thing, and equally a male and female thing. Would you create some kind of other crazy, I think in 2x2 tables, it's the psychologist in me, but, you know, would you create these sort of tables and create some factorial design where you're trying to get people to come up with some other crazy thing that would drive normal people crazy, but academics love it, but... Yeah. You know, at any rate, it's not a practical strategy. It's not a practical solution to think about how these things fit together. Thank you. So we had to come up with something else, and that was essentially to think, one, about intersectionality. I know this is very busy, but it's busy by design. So the point is that there are all these other aspects of identity, experience, and characteristics of African-American men that we have to think about. And how would you actually incorporate all of these various things into one conceptualization of how the factors need to, and how we need to incorporate different things? The only way that, or one of the main ways I would know how to do that, is one, using a CBPR approach where I'm actually engaging with community partners, community members who can tell us about the contextual experience, as well as having more semi-structured or more open-ended focus groups where men are simply allowed to talk about their experience and how those things, and not put the labels on it and just talk about from their experience what are the factors that facilitate and impede their ability to eat healthy and engage in physical activity. Thank you. So, oops. Get off one more. Oh, no, that's right. So just a quick, what we did in terms of the process, the CBPR simply helped us to identify blind spots and other sort of key areas and issues and barriers. We knew that we also needed to gather, again, this open-ended feedback from men themselves. The focus groups told us the what of the experience of men, so what were the issues that they were identifying. The CBPR process really told us the why. How is it that these things occurred within a particular social context? How did this occur within their particular lives? And the who of who those men are really emerge from the focus group and from these experiences, and that's the intersectionality piece. In the interest of time, since I only have a minute, I'm just going to skip through a couple of really quick things. So a couple of things emerged, just as a quick example. As opposed to it being about simply environmental factors, just broadly, if you were to look at African-American eating and physical activity interventions, mostly now we're thinking about environmental factors or attitudes and so forth. But a lot of the men talked about this idea of competing priorities and demands that really emerged, that their issues around focusing on their roles as fathers, their roles as husbands, their roles within their lives were really the thing that was most important to them, and that was where they're spending their time and attention, not... and so it sort of competed with this idea of I need to put attention to doing leisure time physical activity, that I need to put attention to making sure that I'm eating healthy and so forth. Another thing that emerged is the differences in types of social support and who they wanted to participate in and provide different types of social support very much varied by behavior and the type of behavior we were trying to promote. Again, if you think about most interventions that are trying to address two behaviors, we tend to approach it as though it's the same type of social support that we're going to offer to both behaviors or in the context of an intervention. And then the last thing that emerged, we're exploring, is our faith-based organizations the most appropriate setting? Long story short, it's sort of, we originally said no. We circled back to saying yes, primarily for logistical reasons, that there weren't other real alternatives in the context of Flint that we could see that were viable in terms of that could reach a number of men where we could connect with them on a regular basis where they would have that sort of regular experience. Barbershops served as a useful place to disseminate information, but they weren't a place to really do interventions. We can talk about that more later. So in conclusion, trying to think about these things if we're going to actually effectively address the chronic disease risk needs and the health needs of African-American men, we have to think about this in a more rich and complex way. CBPR and qualitative research really do provide an important way to think about these relationships. So thank you.